Well, good morning again. I'm sorry that the pastor's not here for you this morning. So we just have to make do the best we can, amen? I was just speaking with somebody a few moments ago, and they happened to drive quite a ways to get here. And they said to me that it's kind of tough when the pastor's not here, you know? And isn't that the truth? But you know something we've got to face? Pastor's not always going to be with us. You know, if the Lord tarries, then he's going to heaven just like the rest of us at one time or another. Now, I don't know about you, but that does bother me quite a bit. And but it shouldn't. You know, we need to look at the reality of something. Why are we here this morning? We're here to serve God, not a man. You understand what I'm saying? You know, and we shouldn't care who is in the pulpit. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't take that the wrong way. We want somebody who's fundamentally and biblically correct. Right. But outside of that, it shouldn't matter to us who's doing the preaching and teaching and whatnot. If it's coming from God's word and it's coming from God, that's what we should be focused on.
Amen.
And I know that's tough, especially when you got a man like Dr. Carter. I mean, what a blessing, tremendous blessing he's been to so many over the years, and he still is, and he's still going strong, folks. Now, don't think for a moment that he's laying down, because he's not. I tell you what, 35-year-olds can't keep up with Dr. Carter right today. I mean, God has just blessed him beyond. And but at the same time, folks, we got to remember it's God that we serve. And if we don't, the preacher asked us, if you remember when he first went away, he put in the bulletin, he asked us to be faithful. Folks, we got to be faithful to God, whether the preacher's here or not.
Amen.
You know, each and every one of us, it's up to us to be faithful to the Lord and maintain this church right here. And the church is not the building, it's the body. We are the church. So it's important that we gather ourselves together and serve the Lord the only way we know how. And it's important that we continue to do that. And churches all over America today are closing for the very reason that they're not serving God. If folks would just serve God, and everything might not go your way, okay? You might not like what was said yesterday or today or tomorrow, but are you going to quit serving God because of that? Because if you are, you need to look at your salvation. You need to look at, am I saved? You know, why am I here? And that's part of what our lesson's going to be this morning. So I'm glad that this person said something to me about that this morning. And which I'm going to read a verse to you out of Deuteronomy. You can turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6. But I'm going to read a verse to you out of 5. Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. You understand that's what God wants from us. That's what God is asking. That's what God is speaking right here. Oh, that there were such a heart in them. And if that were true, the building would be full this morning. When I was riding in this morning, I seen cars and people on bicycles and walking up and down the street, going every which way. And the first thought that came to my mind, those people should be in church. But we've lost our fear of God. And we're drifting all over. And we're talking about Christians, so-called Christians. They're out enjoying the pleasures of the world rather than serving God this morning. And folks, let me tell you something. When you're here, you know, when you're here in church, you're serving God, but you're also a blessing to the pastor. You understand that?
Amen.
You know, he puts a great deal of time and study, and he gets up here, and he don't want to teach to 25 people when he knows he should have 500 in here. You understand what I'm saying? If you have a church that has 25 members, then you expect 25 people. So, you know, you're a blessing by being here, by serving God. That chain rolls on. It's a blessing to other people, and it's a blessing to those around you. I heard somebody else say this morning that they're here this morning to be a blessing and to receive a blessing. And that's why we're all here this morning. And, folks, let me tell you something. When you get to be our age, you know, we're not spring chickens anymore. Most of us, our children are grown. I mean, most of us have grandchildren, and some of us have great-grandchildren. But do we quit serving God because we've gotten older? Do you understand the backbone of America today still falls on you, the seniors of America? Do you understand the families today still look at their seniors? See, we set the example, don't we? So it's important that we continue to serve God. I understand and I know the world's not doing that. But I ask you this morning, whose fault is that? See, if each and every one of us had done what God has commanded us to do, we'd have more folks in church. We don't like to hear that, and we don't like to look at that to be a reality, but it is. I mean, I can look back at my children and raising the way I've raised my children, and I can see so many things that if I'd have done differently, my children would have been better off today. So what we all want to talk to you about today is how to be an obedient Christian. You know, we all know that we're supposed to be obedient, but how do we be obedient? What is it that we need to do to be obedient Christians? And the sad thing is, it's very simple, but most of us do not know. And we ought to know, especially in this church. I mean, when you sit here under Dr. Carter for as many years as some of us have sat here, most of us should be Bible scholars. I mean, because he preaches the word and he gets deep into the word. And it's, you know, twice on Sundays and Wednesday nights and other days in between. So you need to just soak up all that he gives you. And with that being said, before I get into the lesson, I want to mention camp again. It's not just for children. Now, we're having teen camp, but I promise you, if you get a chance to go to camp, it will be a blessing to you. I don't know about you, but I like to go to the youth camp. I get so much out of those lessons to those little children. It's just amazing how much God can give you out of such simple Bible lessons. And I'm talking about it really gets to a point where you understand what's being said. And it's sad that we have to be our age and get a Bible lesson from a child, but that's the truth of it. And when we get hear those lessons, I love them. I love to be reminded of where I used to be and where I am today. So, you know, that's the reason I love God's preaching so much. When the preacher gets up here ripping on sin, I love it. The harder he preaches against sin, the better I like it, because it reminds me of where I was and where I could be and where I'm not. So that's always a blessing. Well, let's get into our lesson here. Chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you." That ye might do them in the land whether ye go to possess it. First of all, I want you to notice this is kind of persuasive obedience that we're reading right here. God's trying to persuade us to be obedient to him. But I want you to notice it said Lord God, and when you see Lord, it says capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's the Lord Jesus in his deity. You understand that? Anytime you see that, that's the Lord Jesus in his deity. It says, the Lord your God commanded to teach you. What's that showing us? That right there is showing us that there's one God. The Lord and our God is one God. And we're going to see that again as we move on. But he commanded to teach us. Now, if that's a commandment, then we have to look at it much like the Big Ten, don't we? When we think about the Big Ten, the Ten Commandments, we think that we're supposed to obey those, right? Well, this is a commandment. Just because it's not the Big Ten, is it any less a sin to disobey it? No. If he tells you, if thou shalt not lie, and that's a commandment, it's a sin to lie then, correct? Well, if he's commanding us to do this and that we do not do it, then we have sinned against God. And this is the commandment. I command to teach you that ye might do them in the land whether ye go to possess it. Now, we need to remember Moses has already led them out of Egypt. They've been to Mount Sinai, and God has given him the law. And he is now going, if you read chapter 5, you'll see where Moses is telling the people that we are the only people that God's ever spoken directly to the way he has with that generation. And you and I today, we don't speak directly to God, do we? Not in the sense that we hear and see him the way Moses did on the mountain in the spirit. We speak to him through spirit only, correct? Through our prayers. So God, Moses is pointing out to them that they're a special people. Well, I still feel that you and I today are special people.
Amen.
We've got God's word right here. And it's just as good today as it was the day that God gave it to Moses.
Amen.
He goes on in verse 2, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. So now here he's telling us he commanded us. So why has he commanded us? If we just saw that in verse 2, why? This is why he's commanded us. That ye might fear the Lord your God. Folks, let me tell you something. Today, man has lost their fear of God.
Amen.
They don't fear God anymore. The world doesn't fear God. See, you've heard the pastor say this time and time again. Judgment today doesn't fall immediately when we break the law. Judgment doesn't fall right then. But folks, it's going to fall. Judgment's coming. It's going to fall in the future. But because it does not fall right now, man thinks he's getting by with something. We're not getting by with anything. Judgment time is coming. There is a time of judgment. And at that time, judgment will fall. But because it doesn't fall immediately, man thinks, well, hey, I'm getting by with this. I'll just continue to do that which I'm doing. I'm not going to church on Sunday. Everything seems to be honky-dory. I'm doing great. I don't keep the Lord's commandments. Nothing's happened to me. I'm doing fine. If there was a real God, he'd strike me dead. Let me ask you a question. What makes you think he'd take time to? Why would the Lord waste his time to strike you dead when you're a dead man walking? You understand that? Your days are already numbered. God doesn't have to strike you dead. You're already dead. His time's coming. And if you're in your sin, you're dead already. You've already been judged. But we just don't seem, to get that. And then in verse 3, it says, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Here we see that it might be well with thee, that ye may be increased. God's blessings will be upon you for obeying God's law. Now put that in perspective that you can understand. When you were raising children and you asked your children to do something and your children done that in which you had asked, was it not a blessing to them? Sure it was. When they disobeyed, it was not a blessing to them, was it? Or it shouldn't have been anyhow. You know, today, parents don't seem to correct their children. That's part of the problem. But it's supposed to be a blessing to us when we obey God. And that's important that we understand that. Folks, everything that goes on in our lives, sometimes we just take everything for granted. But I can look back and I can see how God has blessed me tremendously by being in obedience to him. And the more that we are in obedience, the more God continues to bless us. And folks, look at us as a nation. God has blessed the United States of America way far and beyond any other nation.
Amen.
But where are we going to today? Do you not see the hand of God slowly being removed from this nation? We have become so disobedient as a people, as a nation, that God's wrath is surely to come. It's just a matter of when. And folks, we have a big part in that. Us today as seniors, like I said, we've raised our children, but eyes are still on us. They're on your Christian walk. They're on the way that you perceive things, everything that you do, the way that you dress, the way that you talk, everything, the way that you act around people, everything that we do. And I don't know about you, but it's a daily battle, because I'm just like you. I get in the flesh. Sometimes if something doesn't suit me, I get in the flesh just like you do. But there's always eyes on us. And I think to me that's probably the biggest battle I got to deal with is reverting back and letting the old man out, you know? It happens to each and every one of us. But that's because we lose focus of just how important our obedience to God can be. And then look at verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Here again that we see that there is one God, capital L-O-R-D. And go to Revelations 19. Some of you looked at me a little funny. Especially now out here in the radio land, they need to understand that there's one God. It's very important that we understand that. Revelation 19, I'm going to read a few verses to you, starting in verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. There comes that judgment. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. Who are we talking about right here? We're talking about the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, he's the one that was crucified. He's the one that bled. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, and white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of his fierceness, of his wrath of the Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Capital L, capital O, capital R, and capital D. That's the Lord Jesus. So when we read about that, there is one God. There is only one God. And I know we as believers and we as Baptists pretty much believe that. But there's still a lot of people get confused thinking that there's more than one God. But no, there is only one God.
Amen.
In verse 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Now remember now, this is commandment, right? If we back up to where we started in verse 1, he's commanding us to do these things, and he's writing to us right now. So this is a commandment of the Lord, that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Can you honestly say that you do that today? Because you do understand that when we talk about all the heart, all the soul, and all that might, you understand that those three together makes up the entire man. That makes up us in our entirety. Our heart, where we have compassion. And our soul, with our innermost being. Our soul is going to live forever, amen? And with all of our might, that's with all of our strength. That's with everything that we can muster up. You know, it's funny, we watch two ball teams take a football game. Boy, they'll try to kill each other. They'll get on that line and they'll just put every ounce of power, every ounce of might they have into trying to knock that other guy down. Well, this is just talking about us putting all of our might, that same power into serving God. Have you ever noticed it's so easy to serve the flesh? It's easy. It's easy to do the things which satisfy and make the flesh happy. Well, God is telling us here, and it's a commandment, that we're to serve God that way. We're to serve God. We ought to be putting up everything that we can to serve our Lord more than we serve ourselves. It doesn't say in here that we should serve the flesh. It says in here that we should be serving our God, our Lord, with everything that we can muster up. Now, I'm just like you. It's not easy. I understand that. But we ought to at least make an attempt.
Right.
You know, we can start by reading our Bibles. That's always a good start, reading the Word of God. Folks, you got to understand something. Your brain is like a computer. A computer only knows what's put into it. People say, well, computers are so smart. You got one of those smartphones, it'll tell you anything you want to know, won't it? But it only knows what's been programmed into it. Your brain is the same way. Your brain only knows what's programmed into it. And this is what's happening, folks. We are programming our brains on a daily basis with garbage. We turn on the television. Even if you watch the news, it's garbage. I mean, that's all that's on there. All the advertisements, everything that's on there is garbage. Just about everything that we do, everything, if you're listening to the wrong radio stations, and if everything that you do during the day, if you're programming garbage and constantly, let me ask you this, what's going to come out? It's only going to come out what you put in. Then we wonder why our churches don't grow today the way they used to in times past. It's because of what we're programming into our computers. We're only going to get back what we put into it. So if we was to obey God's commandments and we were to do as he's commanding us here, then we would be producing much better than what we're producing. Our computers would be much better off. We would be putting out good things rather than bad. And I know a lot of folks are sitting here, and this is what you're going to say. Well, I'm 87 years old. What can I do? Set an example. Be the example. Be a prayer warrior. Continue to read your Bible. Why? Because that's serving God. See, it's not about serving me. It's about serving God. When you do things that God asks you to do, when you keep your commandments, and the Big Ten is not all the commandments we've got. There's over 300. So when we keep all of God's commandments, when we keep those, we're serving our Lord. And because we're serving our Lord, we're going to be blessed by that. And those blessings pass down. Let me give you an example of how blessings are passed. Let's look at our nation as a whole. Do you understand that God can't bless the heathen or bless us without blessing the heathen? You do understand that. But see, in order for us to be prosperous, in order for our crops to grow good, and for us to eat well, then those same crops have to grow good for the rest of the world. Am I right? So when God blesses us, those blessings are passed on. And a lot of times they're passed on to those who shouldn't be blessed. But look at America, how great God has made it because of those who served him. Amen. And as we step away from that, those blessings are going to be slowly taken away. But it's the same in our life. No matter what our age is, when we're serving our God and God blesses us, those blessings are passed to those around us. You know, if you're blessed with wealth, what happens when you pass? That wealth's passed on, isn't it? That's going to be a blessing to somebody else. Now, what they choose and what they do with it, it depends on what they're learned. It depends on how they're serving their God, right? These blessings are passed generation to generation to generation. And sadly, folks, we're not obeying God's law. When we say there's over 300 commandments in the Bible, most of us can't mention the Big Ten. Most of us can't say what the Big Ten are. So how are we supposed to serve God if we don't read his word? We've got to read the word and study the word in order to serve our God in the way we're supposed to serve him. Now we think, well, I'm not a preacher. You don't have to be a preacher. Nowhere in here did it say anything about being a preacher. It didn't even say anything about being a good Christian, did it? It just said this is the commandment which God has commanded us. This is for each and every one of us. And if we want to be better Christians for the Lord, and we want to be obedient Christians, then we need to follow his commandments. And this is where we're falling short. We're not teaching our children the things we should be teaching them. We're not setting the examples for our children. I mean, we can leave here this morning on the way home. We can say, boy, I didn't like that preacher. What's your three kids in the back seat thinking about that? See, rather than having that attitude, and I know if Dr. Carter's not preaching, a lot of us aren't happy. I understand that. But we need to have the attitude that God's message. This was God's message. What was God saying to you this morning? Amen. What was God speaking to your heart? Because every message that's preached is to you. Every single message.
That's right.
It's not to your neighbor. I mean, I heard people say all the time, boy, Brother Bob, he sure needed that. Yeah, so did you.
Amen.
We all need that. We all need remembrance. We all need to be, what does he say in Timothy? He tells us in remembrance. We need to understand the things where we came from. We need to understand how wicked we are. Just because we're saved and been saved for 10 years and go to church doesn't make us unwicked. What does God say about our hearts? It's only wicked continually. Where we have a wicked heart. And that's each and every one of us. So how do we overcome that? The only way we can overcome that is through Christ. And we have to continually, every day, serve our God. Folks, we should be getting up every morning. Let's move on. Let's get to that before we run out of time. Verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So when are we supposed to be thinking about God? All the time. Everything that we're doing. Well, do we get up in the morning and pray? Do we talk to God when we get up? Do we talk to God on our way to work or on our way to the golf course or going fishing or whatever it may be? Are we talking to God? Because according to this, we're supposed to be. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Folks, our children wouldn't be running rampant in the street if we would obey this commandment. Now, I know some of us say, well, my children aren't. Well, what about your grandchildren? What about your great-grandchildren? What about your great-great-grandchildren? How far down the road are we going to go before they are? Because that's what happens when we don't obey God. And folks, trust me, there's still, if God was finished with you and I because we're seniors, he would have taken us home.
Amen.
He's not finished with us. We still have a purpose. So we can't just give up and say, well, that doesn't apply to me. Yes, it does. It applies to you just as much today as it did when you was 20 and 30 raising children. And it may not be our children. Maybe they're somebody else's children. It still applies to us. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand. Now, what this talking about, I don't know about you, but have you heard the old saying, tie a rope around your finger and tie a knot in it so you remember something? That's what this is talking about. That was an old custom. And it has been around the world. You take and tie a knot in a string and put it on your wrist. That's what this is speaking of. What for? To remind us. Every time you look at that rope, you'll think, I'm supposed to be serving God. And how about, it says, and thy shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. This is talking about like a band. You see a lot of women, and they wear a band around their head. And that's what it's speaking of. And it's for remembrance. For you and I, you know, we can just simply carry a Bible. How about a track? Put a track in your pocket. And every time you reach in your pocket, that track will come out. Put your phone in it. Put tracks behind your phone. Every time you pull your phone out, track falls out, right? And you get aggravated. Don't get aggravated. Thank God. It's a reminder. It's a reminder that I should be serving God. And speaking of phones, by the way, folks, do you understand these phones are instruments of the devil? Now, I know some people look at me and say, that man's crazy. He don't know what he's talking about. Let me tell you something. These telephones, I know we use them for good, okay? But at the same time, it's a distraction between you and God and you and your family. It keeps you away from your family. It keeps you from being, remember back years ago when everybody at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, whatever time, would gather together at the table and eat supper. They don't do that anymore. One goes in one room, one goes in another room, or if they are there at supper time, even when they go out to dinner to the restaurant, everybody's got their phones. Everybody's messing with their phone. There's no personal conversations. Everybody's messing with their phone, doing whatever it is that they do. Now, I know a lot of times you can use that for good things, but at the same time, it's a distraction. You understand how do you conquer? You divide and you conquer. You understand the devil's on the job. Whether you're on the job or not, the devil's on the job 24/7. He's not slacking up one bit. So you don't have to obey God. You don't have to keep his commandments. You don't have to do these things. But I promise you, the devil's doing his job. He's on there trying to drag you to hell with him. You say, well, I'm saved. I can't go to hell. You're right. But what about your children? What about your grandchildren? What about your neighbors? The devil will use you as a tool to send somebody else to hell. If he can stop you from sharing the gospel with your grandchildren, that's his job. That's what he's going to do. He is doomed to hell, and he wants to take all that he can take with him. Folks, just by obeying God's law, it would be a tremendous blessing to us. God gave us this law when you was raising your children. You weren't punishing your children to be mean. You were punishing your children to be good. You wanted your children to understand that there's punishments for right and wrong. If you do right, you're blessed. If you do wrong, you're punished. You understand that God's trying to do the same thing? Because, see, if we obey God's laws and we read his word and do the things in which he tells us to do, we will be blessed for it. And right here, when he's telling us to do these things every day, now listen to what he says in verse 9. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. You think maybe the Lord's trying to tell you that when you pull up in your driveway at night, it should be posted right there? Another reminder. I'm to be serving God right now. And maybe somebody else will ride by and see that same thing. But how many of us obey any of these laws? How many of us really truly do these things? Do you understand your dress? When you come to church on Sunday morning, your dress, let me just put it to you bluntly. I don't care what you dress up, okay? I don't care what you wear. You're like me. If you're here today and you're a born-again believer, you're on your way to heaven, your suit and tie is not going to help you one bit. Am I right? You're saved, you're going to heaven. But your suit and tie might help somebody else who's lost. Do you understand the world perceives us in a certain way? And when we don't follow their guidelines, then the devil uses that as a tool. I don't need that. I'm just as good as they are. You see what I'm saying? And I'm not picking on anybody. Don't take that the wrong way. I'm just saying that all these commandments, when we come to the Lord's house, we should come in our best. We should do all that we can do to praise and raise up the name of our Lord Jesus. And we should be honoring him with everything that we can honor him with, our dress included, our thoughts, our singing. When we sing, we ought to be raising our voices to the Lord. Don't sit back there and mumble. You say, well, I can't sing. I don't care. Who are you singing to? I can't sing either. I know the preacher gets tired of hearing me sing sometimes. You see him sometime, he'll move way over. But who are you singing to? We're singing to the Lord. The Lord says to make a joyful noise. I know sometimes it's not real joyful, but it is to the ears of God. You understand what I'm saying? So we're supposed to do that which we know is right. That way when the world comes in here and they see things in the right manner, they know that they need some of that. What am I missing? I don't have that. I can't sing like that. I don't have that joy in my heart. What is it that they're missing? They need Jesus right here. You understand, we get saved, Jesus moves in here, doesn't he? And he lives right here with us. And we need to express that to the world. Folks, everything you do every day of your life matters to God. Amen? And we are out of time, so I got to quit. My brother, what is...